Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, we're back with the death lineup. We'll see how long, because Brian is experiencing some Wi-Fi difficulties. You got to email Kawakami and figure out how he fixed his Wi-Fi difficulties, which was the whole like first month of his podcast was just nothing.
I bet someone fixed it for him. I don't know if he knew how to fix it, just based on hearing him with technology and audio and stuff.
Well, we buried the lead there, but the Warriors beat the Celtics in Boston, which was pretty remarkable to me. Not that I thought they were going to get blown out, but I did expect them to go in there and compete and lose, and they did not. They started out terribly, and then they finished off the first half really strong. Boston went on their run to take a decent lead, and then the Warriors fought back and kind of did something very un-Warriors-like from last year, which was close the game and actually pull away at the end. I was very surprised to see that. That's what I was looking for when I was thinking about the difference between this team and last year's team, or the last 2 years, their ability to actually get that lead and sustain it without giving it away. I thought that was a pretty compelling thing that from the game yesterday.
Yeah, I think last year's team loses that game. But also, it seems like since we beat them in the finals, the following year, I think we played them. It sounds like we might play them like the same time every year, November or December, for the first time every season.
We played them, I think it was like my holiday party. So it had to have been December. Mm-hmm. And it was a Saturday night ABC game. I think that's the one that you're thinking of.
The first game against Boston has been at Chase, and we've won. We were winning both, you know, in 2021 after the finals, or 2022 after the finals. Then the 2022 season, 2023 season comes around. We've beaten Boston. We play them twice a year, beat them the first time every single time since we've won the finals now. So it's almost like we're just like guaranteed at least one Boston W. But it was impressive nonetheless. Like, they didn't have Jaylen Brown. They didn't have Kristaps Porzingis. But even then, like, that team should have still beaten a lot of teams in the NBA. And I probably would have picked them to beat this Warriors team. I think I probably thought the Warriors were going to lose last night. I think I also thought that, you know, this Warriors team on paper would lose to a shorthanded Boston team. That's just what championship teams do. You know, even when they're shorthanded, they still find a way to make it happen. But I think that says more about this Warriors team than it does about Boston. I still think Boston's amazing. And, you know, but I think this Warriors team, they're doing some unexpected stuff. And I know we could probably go through each game in the schedule like I did last week and kind of put an asterisk on some of them. But, 7-1 is still, I don't think any of us expected 7-1. And, you know, I said, I think last week, if we get one out of these three games against Boston, Cleveland, and OKC, like, we'd be very happy. Now I'm feeling optimistic. Like now I want more. Like, can we get two, out of this three game slate? So yeah, I think I told you, getting greedy. Exactly. I think I told you yesterday, like, usually teams, like, especially when they play the Rockets and they gave up like a 30-point lead, teams that give up a 30-point lead usually go ahead and lose the game once that happens. Mm-hmm. And somehow the Warriors took them to OT and still won that game. Same thing with Boston last night. Like, they blew the crunch time. Boston blew it in the beginning, but then the Warriors blew it when it probably mattered the most, and they still were able to come out and beat them. It's just, you know, this last year's team would have never done that. And I like this team.
All right, let me caveat this for the Celtics fans. We know Jaylen Brown wasn't playing. Kristaps Porzingis is going to be out for, sounds like, the first half of the season. The Warriors were also without DeAnthony Melton and Brandon Podziemski, who are two of their ball handlers. So they were also missing players, though not of the same value to the team as a Jaylen Brown.
Man, Boston still had three players out there who would be the second best player on the Warriors. Derek White, Jason Tatum, and Drew Holiday. All three of them would have been
the all Olympians, by the way, all gold medalists in the Olympics.
So they were shorthanded, yes, but it's still, I'm telling you, those championship teams that are shorthanded should still be able to beat. They should have beaten the Warriors, and they didn't.
No, I mean, they're also at home, so they have that benefit. You know, the Warriors did something very interesting, and I don't know that they've done it to this level of success in quite a long time. But they were basically half-court trapping the ball handler. And Boston's point guards, Drew Holiday and Derek White, they don't always bring the ball up. Sometimes it's Jason Tatum. What the Warriors were doing was they were running like a late trap, like right when the guy got to half-court, it was like, boom, traps. So it was almost like they were creating a wall with two defenders. And then the ball handler, if the ball handler even took a half a step backward, they were going to go back court. And I think Peyton Pritchard got caught going back court once. That was a surprise. They do trap, but I was trying to remember, like, when do they trap like that? And I was trying to remember when the last time I would have seen that from them. And also from they did it. Like almost not the whole game, they pulled out of it, but they did it for a long time too. So it's not like it was just like, oh, on a couple possessions and Boston surprised. They consistently did it, and it did look like it had some sort of effect on the Boston rhythm with their offense. Your audio is jacked. Cannot hear you at all now. There you go. I guess I can hear you a little bit. I think
it's
not
coming from my AirPods, though. Man, the Wi-Fi's messed up. The mic's messed up.
This is
that one could be the
Kyle Gama show.
Yeah, I think we'll use AirPod mics for at least this thing, and I'll try to fix it.
Yeah, that's fine. You could just do that. Go for it.
Yeah, no, I messed with Tatum. He had a pretty poor first half. And I think that works against maybe not the best ball handlers. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, the playoffs in 2022. Like, they didn't do it against Luka. They, like, tagged it, if I remember correctly. There would be, like, a pick and roll where Luka's trying to get Steph on him, and then Steph would go and show and run back. Didn't do that against Luka. They didn't do that against Ja. So it makes me think that might work against maybe like a forward like Tatum, who's not like this ball handler, like point guard ball handler, but he's still like a really good shot maker. Like that's maybe, you know, I'm trying to think of other players of that cat, you know, that would work on that I can compare it to, but I'm not thinking of any right now. But no, I feel like
for maybe instance, if you're the other team, you could clearly do that against Draymond. Wiggins would be an attack. Or Wiggins.
Yeah, Wiggins is not the greatest ball handler at all. So yeah, it would have totally worked against Wiggins too.
All right, so a couple of other things about this game, and then we'll move on to the next thing we're going to talk about, as long as your Wi-Fi can hold it. All right, so I saw a couple of stats. One of them was a net rating. So the Warriors, as of last night, the Warriors lead the NBA in net rating with 15.5. So that's the point differential. OKC, who finally lost their first game, is number two. And Cleveland, who is undefeated right now, number three. Boston, number four. Surprisingly, Houston is five, but there's a giant drop off after those first four teams. Who look like the four best teams in the NBA right now so far. Are you surprised to see the Warriors being the top net rating team in the NBA right now?
Based on how our offense has been going, like, not surprised. I am someone, you know, I know that's net rating and not offensive rating. I'm assuming we're number one in offensive rating. Like, that would make sense. Maybe us or Cleveland, but yeah, just based on what I've been watching, like, the Steph and Buddy duo with, like, has just been producing a lot of buckets and a lot of points. Like, I'm not
surprised. We'll get to that stat next. That stat is even more mind-boggling.
Yeah, maybe I'm a little surprised by the net rating. If I saw the offensive rating, I probably wouldn't be as surprised. I think the defense has been the most surprising, which is what makes the net rating probably so good. If the offense is so good and then the defense has been surprising, the net rating is going to show that as well.
And the other thing is that they got to play Utah, who's clearly the worst team in the NBA right now. When you talk about the opposite, the Utah's far worse than Portland right now.
Oh, okay.
When you talk about the net rating, the worst net rating in the NBA, it's Utah by far, but also Portland. They also got to play Portland to start the season. So those are two really, really bad teams that they just kick their butts. And so that helps their net rating. But, you know, they beat Boston. So that kind of counterbalances the, oh, they're just beating bad teams. No, they just beat Boston. Boston is really good. So the thing that you mentioned about defense, this was the problem last year in that it just almost felt like they didn't have the edge against any team in athleticism, because we know that they don't have the edge in height. That's just that they're not built that way. So if you don't have the edge in height, you have to have some edges in athleticism because you have to make up for the height in some way. And last year, they just looked slow and old. And I don't know really what the main difference is. Maybe it's a little bit of a friskier Wiggs. Maybe it's a TJD who is, you know, in his second year. Moses doesn't look any more athletic than he's been. Kuminga doesn't look any more athletic than he's been. Maybe they're just in better positions defensively. Buddy Hield's not a good defender, but he works hard. I don't know what it is. What do you sense the reason is for them defensively as why they're better so far?
I think there is an aspect of, like, when you see results, like, it makes you, like, want to lock in and feel like something's working. You know, there was a change in who runs the defense from Kenny Atkinson to, I forget who was running the, I think it was Kenny last year.
I think it was Kenny last year.
And now it's Stackhouse, right?
Yeah.
And, you know,
they're giving a lot of credit to Jerry Stackhouse.
They are, you know, former player, like, from Detroit or played on Detroit, or was it both?
He played on, I think he was drafted by Detroit, or no, he was drafted by Philly, played on Detroit. He played for North UNC. I'll look and see where he grew up. But you know what he's, like, most known for in the NBA? As he sort of got older, and the legend of Stackhouse, he's basically known as the guy who you just did not want to mess with. Like, he will fight you and beat you up. I guess he was from North Carolina. He went to high school in North Carolina, and then went to Oak Hill in Virginia. Went to college at UNC. Drafted by the 76ers first round, third overall pick. And then he went to Detroit. And then he went to Washington, Dallas, Milwaukee. And then he played with a bunch of teams and retired in 2012, 2013. So he retired even before the Warriors won their first title.
Okay.
So when he came out of UNC, though, he was seen as a high-flying two guard, and any high flying two guard coming out of UNC is going to be compared immediately to Michael Jordan. So that was his comparison. But he and Rasheed Wallace played together at UNC, and they came out, I think they both came out as sophomores, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I do think a lot of it is Wiggs. Like, I feel like that, you know, 2020, 2021, not even championship year, the year before, where we were saying that everyone was on Wiggs Island, and I used to see graphics of, like, star players being photoshopped onto, like, this island that, like, Wiggs was just, like, apparently just he was able to just shut down every single one of them. I feel like that Wiggs is back. Like, I think he was playing tremendous defense on every single person he's matched up against. They put him against a leading ball handler, whether that be Jalen Green against the Rockets, whether that be James Harden against the Clippers. Like, just anyone they put Wiggins on, like, I feel good about it. And I think that's a big versus availability with him, as well as, you know, being locked in. But just like how defense inspires offense, like, I feel like offense can inspire defense as well. And this offense is clicking, man. It's clicking. And I think the defense is clicking too. And I think a lot of credit goes to Stackhouse.
Healthy GP. They are able to sick him on somebody who gets hot. Derek White got hot. They were like, okay, Moses, you're out. GP, you're in. He blocked the Peyton Pritchard three-pointer that
I think everyone should go watch that. I just don't understand how he did it. I was laying down in bed watching it and like sat up and like gasped, and my girlfriend Danielle came in and literally checked on me, like, is everything okay? And I was like, I cannot stress enough that I just was not expecting him to get this, and he got it.
Yeah. And then I guess the other thing that you can maybe give some credit to is a sleeker Kevon Looney. He's thinner, he looks quicker. You know, he's also not expected to play heavy minutes because TJD is splitting time with him. So he seems fresher, and you know that down low, he's just going to grind and he's just going to battle. And then I guess, Kyle Anderson. Now, you know, Kyle Anderson gives you length. He's not necessarily what I would consider a shot blocker. He's not necessarily, somebody that you're going to go send out on the wing and stop a guy, but he plays in the post and can get out to the wing, so he helps in that scenario. But it's just sort of this myriad or this mix of players who are very smart. And when D'Anthony Melton comes back, that'll be another guy who they'll be able to add to the mix. I'm a little worried about him, though, because he did have the back injury, and they seem to be very delicate with him so far. That might be something where he's just kind of in and out for the whole season. I hope not, because I want to see really what he can do as well. Because, you know, if you want to put like the all defense team out there, and it's like Melton and GP and Wiggs and Looney, and you still need someone to score the ball, and Draymond or whatever. But like there's a version of a lineup where you're just like, get a stop. And that we haven't had a version of a lineup like that in a long time.
Yeah. It's a lot of things clicking, and I think it still is true that any three-man combination with GP, Buddy, and Steph just for some reason just keeps working. And I actually have their best lineup pulled up right now, and of course it features all three of them. Let me filter by plus minus. Steph, Kevon Looney, Buddy Hield, GP2, Brandon Pajemski, plus 21 in 11 minutes.
Speaking of Buddy Hield, according to Evan Sittery, I don't know who that is, the Warriors are scoring 143.3 points per 100 possessions when Steph and Buddy Hield share the court, which ranks number one by a wide margin.
Never mind. Keep going.
Well, like we were talking about this, which is Klay Thompson, you take him out of this lineup and you just insert Buddy Hield. And for whatever reason, the energy is just way different. And that is no shade against Klay, because we love Klay. But last year, there seemed to be so much effort to get Klay going that kind of became the identity. And you're going to win if Klay's hot, and maybe not if he's not. You had to figure that out really early. And Buddy Hield, like, you don't need to set anything up for him. He's going to take it if he's open, and he gets that shot off so quickly. But his mentality of knowing how to be a bench scorer and knowing how to light it up, I mentioned the microwave a couple shows ago. It's been awesome to watch him, and he is a much better overall scorer than I ever realized. I was like, he's a good three-point shooter, but he can actually get to the bucket. He can switch hands at the bucket. He's got a few different shots, you know, to score. He's been really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think
like, this is such a perfect situation for him, and I feel like he's, it's very lucky that we got to find like a, you know, perfect marriage between like his play style and like what the Warriors want to do. It just fits perfectly. And I actually pulled up, so I was wrong about the three-man lineup. I do think it's, I filter by totals and not per game, because I feel like totals, I don't know, it just makes more sense for me. I filtered by three-man lineup combinations, and Steph and Buddy Hield are in of like the top, I don't know, let's say like seven. They're in like 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, it's just like that duo along with a third player is just like our, like our top three-man combination lineups. And the top one is actually Steph, Draymond, and Buddy, which makes sense. They played together like the most out of all these minutes as well. And then it's Lindy Waters, Moses, and Brandon Pajemski, number two. And then number three is Kevon, Buddy, and then Brandon Pajemski. And then here we go with number 4, 5, and 6, which is Steph, Buddy, Wiggins, Steph, Buddy, Looney, Steph, Buddy, GP2. It's just, yeah, no, that you know, stick those two with someone and you're going to have a plus lineup, you know?
Do you think Steve is going to be able to keep playing 11 or 12 every game?
I don't. And I think that that is what makes us potentially available for the big swing, is that we have 12, and the big swing would probably, you know, be for one player and bring us down to like 7 or 8. So... I don't think it's realistic, and I think that there's something they can do about it to make it better, just to go for the big swing.
But here's my, like, the deeper psychology of what he's doing, which is he knows that he has just the NBA in general. You have to deal with injuries. Like, I look at, you know, if you play fantasy basketball, you're like, oh my gosh, like Wendell Carter is like questionable every single game. Like, I lost CJ McCollum like very early. I lost DeMarcus, who's the other guard for the Pelicans? Murray?
DeJounte
Murray. I lost him. Like, and so there's so many injury things that happen. And I just wonder if the overall psychology is like, we are going to need these guys to step up at some point. GP was hurt a lot last year. You know, he's just one example. Like I said, Melton is already a little dinged up. And just the idea of like, look, you guys are going to get a shot. And then if someone gets hurt, then you're going to get even more minutes. Like, who was the benefactor of that when Melton got hurt? It was Lindy Waters. And that first game, dude was on fire. Now he's regressed back to the mean, and he has not really had a great game since then, but it's almost like he's gonna remember that moment of like, okay, I can actually do this, and I can actually, and so if someone goes down and he's got to step up again and play heavy minutes, it's like, oh, I've done this before, like I know how to do this. I think there's a psychology there that Kerr is really good at, but at the same time, it's probably pretty frustrating for some of the other players who are like, yeah, I get it, but I would love, like Moses Moody, right? Starts both halves of the Boston game and plays well, but still didn't have heavy minutes in that game, even in playing well, because they kept turning it over to different lineup, different look. They're not letting Boston off the hook. They're going to have to guard this, this, and this. And so if you're Moody, you're like, it was great starting. I know how to play against these guys. I've played against these guys a lot, but he's also not getting that extended run where it's like, they trust me to do this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply. At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Yeah, I get the philosophy. I just, what is, like, remember what, like, Doc Rivers said in that one Bill Simmons podcast where you play 12, trust 7, and then, like, mm-hmm. die with 6 or something?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like it's, you know, proven in the NBA space that, like, it really matters about your best 6 or 7. But maybe, you know, Steve Kerr changes the philosophy once again of how this game is going to be played. I think there's a reason it gets to 6 or 7. I think there's like comfortability and like playing in big moments that, like, you know, that helps with being the top 6 or 7. But yeah, for now, like, you know, one man goes down, next man up. It kind of feels like the Farhan strategy of like going with what's the lefty righty thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like if Moses isn't going, then I guess Lindy can go for it or something like that. And I feel like the thing is, there's still like, yeah, that strategy works, but there's still players who are like even role players that are irreplaceable. If GP2 goes down, like, who replaces him? You know, they don't have like, mm-hmm. like, is it, I guess it's like Melton?
Maybe it's Melton.
There's just no defender like Gary. So I don't know.
All right. The rest of the week is at Cleveland. Cleveland is the last undefeated team in the NBA. They play on Friday, and then the Thunder, who just lost to Denver, I believe, they play Sunday. So, you know, you come out of this road trip, the Warriors have already, they've already promised over 500 road trip just by winning the first three games of the road trip. And so last two games, they're going to be tough. But you've already had a successful road trip, so it's a successful way to start this season. And then next week, they are home for Dallas and the Grizzlies. And it's the first group stage of the NBA Cup. And I'm still not 100% like bought in on the Cup. I know the players are like supposed to say it's important and it's realistic, but I'm watching that the NBA show on Netflix. And I guess it's just to get some of the younger players some money. But I still don't understand why it matters to anybody. Like, what did the Lakers get from winning the cup last year and then like barely making the playoffs?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It's stupid.
All right, let's talk a little bit of women's basketball here.
Valix Valley. Home run.
Okay. The women's college season has begun, and one of the women that you have kind of circled as far as I need to watch a lot of her games because she will probably be in the range of where the Valkyries pick first in the WNBA draft is Olivia Miles from Notre Dame. And she missed all of last season with, what was it, a knee injury?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was a knee injury. I'll double check what it was exactly. But so she is somebody who is on your radar. What do you like about her game, and what do the folks who study the prospects like about her game as far as being an NBA or a WNBA possible first rounder?
I think that she displayed in her first game kind of what everyone sees is like this do it all guard. She had a triple double in her first game against, was like Mercy something. But yeah, like kind of like a no name school that I guess was like recently bumped up to D1. So yeah, like from a competition standpoint, you know, maybe not the best competition. Notre Dame absolutely killed them. But yeah, she had a triple double, and I actually went and looked at the stats. You know, we're about two games in for a lot of teams, and no one else has recorded a triple double except for Olivia Miles. She had like 20, 10, and 10. And I think it's just that she has a really good feel for the game. Like a 5'10 point guard. And I know most of the listeners here for the NBA are like NBA fans. So I want to say like 5'10 maybe equates to like 6'2 point guard for the NBA.
Just like probably like Steph's height in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's crafty. She gets downhill really pretty easily, and she finishes at the hoop with creativeness. Like she can change hands in the air, and she's pretty good around the rim. I think the main things that everyone's keeping an eye on is, of course, her 3-point shooting. First shot of the game from her was a 3-pointer. She cashed it, but I think she probably missed the next 2 to 3. So, you know, she's got everything. She's got the triple double. She's got kind of like a 3-pointer. Like, please. I feel like that's kind of what we're looking from her. She's not some like super athlete by any means like Russ is, but you know, you see like the triple double, see the downhill, it's like, can this person shoot threes? And I think that's what everyone's kind of keeping an eye on from her. And honestly, if she keeps recording triple doubles like this, it might not matter, you know, like especially against competitive teams like Notre Dame's got, I think they've got USC on the calendar, like they've got competitive games on the calendar. So let's see if she, you know, keeps that up against other squads, other schools. But She keeps doing this, she might not even be available when the Valkyries select at 5.
So she is a senior, but she missed all of her junior year. At the end of her, her second year, she hurt her knee. And then the entire year, she tried to rehab the knee. And I guess it just wasn't right. So she had to miss the whole, the whole calendar year. So it was like a full year that she was actually out, full calendar year. Now, her numbers as far as shooting, not a great 3-point shooter, like you said. For her career in college, 24.6. She's a decent field goal shooter. Otherwise, though, she makes about 46% of her shots. But like you also said, she's a stat filler. She averaged 7.3 rebounds, 6.9 assists, 2.1 steals, and 14 points a game in the 2022-2023 season. So, you know, I'm very interested to see athletically. Obviously, I don't know what she was like that season, but they'll have to, you know, we'll hear, oh, you know, she's got her athleticism back, or maybe she doesn't, and that's going to be a thing. But I want to watch some of their games because I think they play UConn like in a month or something. So that'll be a great test to see her. And then who's the other? The Notre Dame also has the younger guard who's the
Hannah Hidalgo. They might have the best backcourt in women's college basketball.
Yeah. So keep your eye on Olivia Miles if you are looking at the Valkyries. And let's wrap up the show with our last segment. All right, around the NBA, I wanted to quickly get your thoughts on some of these records and just wondering if you buy what we're seeing with some of these teams. So the first one, let's just start with the Cavs. The Cavs are 9-0. And I mentioned the numbers for like the net rating and stuff. They are 12.7 net rating. So they average 123 points a game, which is, I think, tops in all of the NBA. And they give up 110, which is a pretty high ranking. The Thunder and the Warriors are by far the teams that give up the least amount of points per game. But what I mean, the Cavaliers always give the Warriors trouble anyways because of their length. But what do you think about the start of their season? Are they real? Are they going to be in this mix for the top three or four teams in the East all year long?
I admittedly have not watched them too much, so I'm looking at their schedule right now. They played Toronto in game one. We know Toronto's not a great team. However, you know, they kind of, Toronto's been more so like injury with Scotty Barnes and Quickly, and technically both of them are still there, but Quickly did her game two, Detroit, game three, Washington, game four, the Knicks. They beat the Knicks by six. Game five, it was that Lakers blowout. And then they beat Orlando, but I think that's when Paolo went down, or he was already down. He didn't play. And then they beat the Bucks, who have admittedly, I don't know how many games the Bucks have won. I think they might have won one. They beat the Bucks by one. And I think the next game, Giannis doesn't play. They only beat him by two. And then they beat the shorthanded Pelicans that we've also played. Kind of seems like they have a similar thing with us, as like, you know, I'm not ready to like completely say that the Warriors are this contending team. Even though they are 7-1, like, and then from the Cavs side, like, it's kind of been, they've played a few good teams, but they've also played some bad teams and caught in some teams that were pretty banged up. I haven't watched them actually play a game yet. I plan to. Of course, we're going to watch the Warrior game, and I'll try to watch a couple more if this keeps up with them. But, you know, there's always that good regular season team that, like, I didn't expect. So, and they could definitely hit. They got Kenny Atkinson, you know, they got our guy. And, you know, as a returning squad, I remember their, you know, past couple of years, their biggest question has been who's going to play small forward. And then they signed Max Strus for a lot of money because they've had Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. They're filled with one through four positions, but they could never find the point of attack defender at the three. So maybe they figured that out with Okoro or Strus. But again, I haven't seen too much of them.
Strus hurt?
Don't know. Couldn't tell you.
I don't think he's played for them yet,
so I wonder who their small forward has been.
So their top five scorers are Mitchell, Garland, Mobley, Allen, and Caris LeVert.
Caris LeVert at three, man.
But you know,
I think they're starting Okoro.
You know who's sixth in that? Yeah, Okoro. Yeah. Is Okoro and LeVert get about the same amount of minutes per game, but their sixth leading scorer, none other than Ty Jerome.
Our guy, man.
Ty Jerome shooting 53% from three, though he doesn't take a lot. He's only taken a little bit less than two a game. Okay, so I imagine, I mean, we saw them last year against the first round series against Orlando, and both of those teams look talented and athletic, and they just had trouble shooting in clutch situations. The next team on this list, because I'm going to assume Boston is going to be really good. Boston's probably going to win 63 games again. The other team, and this is more on the lower, or are they this bad? The Knicks. The Knicks are 3-4. Now, I imagine some of that is trying to figure out how to adapt with Karl Anthony Towns now being like the guy, right? Like he just assumes that role of being the best player or the second best player on their team. Like, you have to fit in. It's not like he just comes in and does dirty work. He comes in and he wants to be the man. So do you think that the Knicks are still sort of in the process of figuring things out?
100%. I think they have to figure things out, because I think of like the way they've, you know, created this team, and like, it feels like everything's complementary. Like, when you think of the Suns just like trying to put as much talent on the table as possible, and the Suns are 7-1, speaking of, but last year I was like, okay, Beal, Book, KD, sure, they were in time, but like, when they all play together, it's like, okay, they're all very on ball. Like, who's the point guard? It doesn't really make sense. But when you think of it from the Knicks perspective, they've compiled all this talent, but it makes sense. Like, Jalen Brunson's the point guard. That makes sense. You know, Mikal Bridges, you know, as the point of attack defender, or it's OG Anunoby as the point of attack defender at your shooting guard small forward. Josh Hart as the undersized four, but he flies around everywhere, so he feels like it's not undersized. Karl Anthony Towns at the five. Like, it all makes sense. And I'm puzzled as to why it hasn't clicked yet, because I drafted Jalen Brunson with my first round pick. And what the hell's happening?
They shoot the three ball tremendously well.
too. They have a really good 3-point shooting team, and they're still only 3-4. They shoot 42% from three as a team right now through seven games.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like Brunson doesn't got it down for what he had going in the postseason. It felt like he was a walking bucket, like he could not be stopped in the postseason. They had it figured out, just slow pick and roll. He'd have a defender on his back, and he'd be able to draw a foul or get a bucket every single time. So I don't know.
All right, looking at another team here, and we'll only do a couple more of these. I think it's early for Orlando because they lost Paolo, so I will avoid talking about them. I think they have the talent to be in that upper six echelon. But let's go to the West. Also, Philadelphia and Milwaukee. That is a story if the next 10 games are like this first 10 games, or first seven games, I guess. Milwaukee won.
I think it's more of a story for Milwaukee. Like, I don't know if you saw, but the 76ers just got hit with another long injury.
Another one, yeah. Maxi.
Yeah, it feels like
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, for them, they could justify it because of no Embiid and Maxi. Milwaukee is losing.
Yeah, I'll have to study there, but Milwaukee is minus 6.6 net rating, which is they're not losing close ones. You know, they're losing by on an average of 7 points a game, whereas like the Pistons are only losing an average of 3 points a game. All right, so Phoenix Suns 7-1. I think this is a little bit of fool's gold just because of the age of, I think, you know, KD, Beal, these guys are going to end up missing some games. But man, great start for them. If you're a Suns fan, and the whole thing last year with Ishbia and putting together this roster and them not having a bench, they did get a point guard, which has been great for them. You know, point guards work when you play basketball. But what do you think about the Suns? Are they fool's gold, or do you think they're going to stick around and be one of the top teams in the West?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked to hear that they were 7-1 or whatever record they're like. They've only have one loss. I wasn't expecting to see it. And I think the one loss I remember watching the game, it was against the Lakers. This is a tough one too. I feel like there's a lot of like fake starts. We very much well could be one of them. I don't think, you know, we're fake. Maybe we're fake as a one seed. I don't know. We'll just have to keep seeing. I think the Suns should not be, you know, a one seed this season. They did get the point guard, but
their net rating is not fantastic, but that could also be a harder schedule than I haven't looked at their schedule, but that's what that could be. So I think we all think Oklahoma City is probably going to be one of the top, you know, two or three teams in the West. The Warriors, the Mavericks, the Kings. The last two will kind of compare them together. Nuggets and Timberwolves both off to slow starts. I don't know if that is real or not. I would imagine that just Jokic being Jokic he's going to will his team to win at least 48 games just because he's so good. Ant Edwards now has a new starting cast with him that he's the guy now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So those teams I'm kind of circling as I feel like they're going to be closer to that mix than they currently are right now.
I think Denver will finish around like fifth or sixth in the West is my guess. I don't know if that's 48 wins. What is that like?
Yeah. I guess it depends because Dallas, Sacramento, Houston, Denver, they all have 5 wins. Do you think the Nuggets are going to be better than those teams? Maybe not better than Dallas, but definitely better than Houston and Sac, right?
Yeah, I think if I'm remembering correctly, I think I had like OKC, Minnesota. I think I had Dallas over Denver. I think I had Memphis over Denver. That might be wrong for all we know. And then I think I had Phoenix over Denver. I just think the loss of KCP is just, and not replacing him, you know, with someone that not really, not replacing him. They didn't replace. Yeah, they replaced. Like they didn't replace his position. They just got Russ on top of it. Like I think that's gonna. You know, Jokic was a sixth seed when we played him in the first round and beat him in our championship season. Like I think that that could happen again.
Yeah. All right, so we'll check in with this from time to time because I'm just so into that now. Seven games is not even 10% of the season, but you know you're it's still a chunk and you probably if you are Denver and you look at it in you know nine game chunks or whatever, you probably want to be 6-3 at the very least in every single one of those nine game chunks to get to where you need to get. So. They have some work to do, but I guess, you know, the Lakers are the Lakers and they started hot and it was all JJ Redick this and JJ Redick that. And now Davis is hurt. LeBron had a great game yesterday. Bronny's bouncing back and forth. This is where like the small sample size can work against you. But all this JJ Redick stuff, I was just like. Like it's a couple games. He's definitely trying to change the culture. But did you see, I think I told you how he reacted yesterday to the question about, you know, how do you get everyone to play hard? And he just sat there stewing and he was like, I just did. And he slammed them. I don't know if he slammed it, but he abruptly left the media spot. I was just like, dude, like you're going to kill yourself. You're going to give yourself a heart attack if you treat every game like that. Like it's a, you know, it's a long journey of a season. So I'm not a Redick fan. I did not like him when he was at Duke. I did not like him much in the NBA. There's a little bit of him being a podcaster that is kind of likable, but I did not like him as an announcer either. I thought he was kind of like a rude jerk in time. So I am not unhappy seeing JJ Redick be unhappy coaching the Lakers. So
yeah, I'm not even going to play devil's advocate. I hope he fails, but. Because I don't want the Lakers to be good, so yeah, I hope he fails, but we'll see.
All right, so we will check in. We've been having a pretty good luck so far. The Warriors haven't had any Thursday games, and that usually causes us to switch our day. But so far so good with Thursdays, and they have a really good set of games. The next four games, well, the next three games, we'll be able to talk about them the next time we record, but. I think this next three game stretch is going to kind of tell us if they lose all three games. I wouldn't be surprised if they go 2-1 at the very least. I think that would be awesome for them. But you know, it almost feels like a test every time they get on the court because I'm trying to figure out if what I'm seeing is real or not. But hey, Steph looks fantastic, right? Like that's kind of the temperature gauge of how they go is how Steph looks, and man, the guy looks as good as he's ever been. So it's been fun to watch. All right.
Agreed.
So we will be back next week. More than likely, hopefully we'll figure out the internet issues. I do think you need to like call your ISP or something, whomever you can. I'm sure you can run those tests, right? You can run those like free internet tests to see what your speeds are, and then you can just tell them like, hey, why are my speeds so low? So
yeah,
all right, yeah, because we need it for 2K too, man. You can't just keep getting kicked out of 2K.
Believe me, I know.
All right, for Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.